ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
What happens when medicine is sold like a makeover?
Their marketing is very good.
Clinics with five-star reviews selling miracle cures.
I left that place thinking I found myself a solution.
But it's your body that pays the price.
I had one cheek higher than the other, one cheek further out from my nose.
Before and After, a new series on how medical hype spreads online, who profits and who pays. Search for Background Briefing on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Donald Trump resisted it for so long, but after a massive U-turn earlier this week, the remaining Epstein files are set to be released. The US House of Representatives overwhelmingly voted in favour of a bill to force the release of the documents, and the president dropped his opposition after it was clear it was going to pass. Today, David A. Graham, staff writer at The Atlantic, on how Trump was backed into a corner and what it says about his leadership and support among his MAGA base. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily.
The US House of Representatives has passed legislation calling for the release of documents relating to the investigation of the late convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein.
The yeas are 427, the nays are one. The bill is passed.
David, that's what you call a unanimous vote, right? Just tell me what unfolded. I mean, yeah, that's a big margin.
Yeah, I mean, this is as much as anyone agrees on anything in American politics these days.
Sure is.
And it's such a shift from, you know, just a few days ago when we expected it to be very close.
Yeah, so it was 427 to one. You better tell me who the one was who doesn't want the Epstein files released.
So that is a representative from Louisiana named Clay Higgins.
Uh-huh.
He is a particularly outspoken Trump supporter and a colorful character, and I think this is keeping with his reputation.
Now, seated in the House gallery as this vote was taking place were survivors of Jeffrey Epstein. Now, Democrats turned and applauded them once the vote had been completed. And there were victims gathered outside the Capitol too.
It is time to take the honest, moral ground and support the release of these files, not to weaponize pieces of the files against random political enemies that did nothing wrong, but to understand who Epstein's friends were, who covered for him, what financial institutions allowed his trafficking to continue, who knew what he was doing, but was too much of a coward to do anything about it.
Always good to bear in mind that there are real people involved in this. It's not just about politics.
Yeah, and you saw some of the survivors talking, being interviewed and saying, you know, this shouldn't be about politics. Saying, you know, I supported President Trump, but I don't understand why this is political. This should be something that everybody agrees on.
We demand justice, accountability, and support for survivors. These survivors are not political tools for you to use. These are real stories, real trauma, and it's time for you to stop just talking about it and act.
All right, well, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the Republican who's become somewhat of a thorn in the side of Donald Trump, she stood on the floor of the House and she gave a really quite powerful speech about why the MAGA base wants these files made public.
And you want to know what the Epstein files represent? The cover-up represents to average Americans. It represents the failures of the federal government and Congress to the American people. And that is what people rose up about. They wanted and demanded transparency from their government and for Americans finally to be put first.
And today, now, it has, though, hasn't it, David, placed the House Speaker in a rather awkward position. because he really has been fighting against the release of these documents.
That's right. I think Trump has kind of hung a lot of his supporters out to dry by demanding for the last few months that they oppose this and that they stand up behind him, only for him to turn on a dime and announce that he supports the release. And so now they're going to have to answer for why they opposed this for so long, which is a point that Thomas Massie, the Republican who was leading this effort, has made. You know, someday Donald Trump will be gone and you'll have to answer for how you voted here.
In 2030, he's not going to be the president, and you will have voted to protect pedophiles if you don't vote to release these files, and the president can't protect you then. The record of this vote will last longer than Donald Trump's presidency.
Well, while this was all underway, Donald Trump was actually taking questions from the press in the Oval Office after a meeting with the Saudi Crown Prince. He was, it seemed, pretty offended, David, that journalists were actually asking him why he just doesn't release these files himself.
Mr. President, why wait for Congress to release the Epstein files? Why not just do it now?
You know, it's not the question that I mind. It's your attitude. You're a terrible person and a terrible reporter. As far as the Epstein files is, I have nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. I threw him out of my club many years ago because I thought he was a sick pervert. But I guess I turned out to be right. But you know who does
that? He can do that, right? He could just release them now, today.
Absolutely.
Why is he going down this path then?
It seems as though he is improvising a little bit. I think this is a way for him to say, I supported the vote and the vote won, instead of saying the House was going to vote against me and so I gave in.
Mm.
But it's really only a fig leaf.
Yeah, all right. So when do you expect that we'll actually lay eyes on these documents?
Nobody knows.
Okay. Well, let's just step back briefly. Because, of course, this week we saw a rather large, as you said, U-turn from Donald Trump, who has long insisted that these files should not be released.
From what I understand, I could check, but from what I understand, thousands of pages of documents have been given. But it's really a Democrat hoax because they're trying to get people to talk about something that's totally irrelevant to the success that we've had as a nation since I've been president.
Now, the pressure really started to build on him last Wednesday, didn't it, when this tranche of Epstein emails was released by the Democrats' House Oversight Committee.
In one, Epstein tells his confidant Ghislaine Maxwell that the dog that hasn't barked is Trump, adding that a victim whose name was redacted had spent hours at my house with him.
There were a lot of pages. Just remind me what we saw in those emails.
Well, we saw many mentions of Trump, for one thing, and discussion about him. We saw Jeffrey Epstein telling a writer that he had lots of dirt on Trump and the writer counseling him on how best to deliver it. And then we also saw communication between Epstein and a lot of prominent figures, Republicans and Democrats, people in academia and business. You know, and just a vision of how many people were continuing to keep up warm social relations with him well after he had been convicted as a pedophile.
And in one of them, Jeffrey Epstein wrote that President Trump had spent hours at my house. But just to point out, there's no smoking gun, if you like, in these emails. There's no proof that he did anything particularly wrong, as his spokeswoman, Carolyn Leavitt, pointed out after the release of them.
These emails prove absolutely nothing other than the fact that President Trump did nothing wrong. And what President Trump has always said is that he was from Palm Beach and so was Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein was a member at Mar-a-Lago until President Trump kicked him out because Jeffrey Epstein was a pedophile and he was a creep.
I think this mostly serves as a reminder and adds more smoke instead of fire. I mean,
right.
You know, we know that Trump was close to Epstein. We know that Trump said as far back as 2003 that Jeffrey Epstein likes women, especially on the young side. You know, there's all these things that put him close to them, but we don't have anything of Trump saying that he was aware of it. We don't have any hard evidence of saying he was aware of it, just a lot of circumstantial material.
All right. And Trump, of course, is sticking to his line that it's all a witch hunt by the Democrats. It's all a hoax. But then, of course, these cracks begin to emerge, right? Because the MAGA base is becoming increasingly, I'd say, restless. Now, they're led by Marjorie Taylor Greene. Just tell me about what she was saying and how that really piled the pressure onto Donald Trump.
Well, I think it's worth going back to the 2024 campaign when Trump said he would support the release of these files. Some of the people now in his administration, including the director of the FBI, the deputy director, the attorney general, talked about the files and the need to release them for transparency. And so in some ways, what Marjorie Taylor Greene is doing now is keeping up exactly the promise that Trump and his allies made on the campaign trail and then backed away from. I think there are a lot of people in the Trump coalition who believe that there were elite people who were connected to Jeffrey Epstein, knew about his crimes, that there's some sort of elite cabal of pedophiles. You know, the range of ideas is pretty wide, but we see a bipartisan consensus of people concerned about it. They don't think Epstein actually committed suicide, and they want transparency. So she is standing up for exactly that point of view.
And then, of course, as we said, comes this U-turn from Donald Trump. What, he's read the room, has he, at this point, and realizes he's going to lose the vote anyway. Why does he U-turn?
He just hates to lose. Uh-huh. And I think he doesn't want to have this come up and suggest that he was on the losing side. And I also think he understands that the longer this story goes on, the worse it is for him. He would rather be talking about anything else. And in fact, in his social media post announcing the U-turn, he said, you know, whatever it takes, but we need to get back on point. And he's tried over and over to find ways to do this. You know, he released some documents back in February that were supposedly going to put this to rest, but it turned out it was mostly things we already heard. And then his administration insisted that there was nothing there and they didn't need to release it. And that only, increased the pressure. So every time they try one of these things, it's a kind of partial answer. It seems to only drive hunger in the public to know more.
Well, David, let's consider then what this all perhaps says about Trump's grip on power and whether there could be anything in these documents that would damage him. How much of these documents do you think, once they're placed into the public domain, will be redacted? That is, names, dates, places, blacked out. Do we get a sense of that?
It's so hard to know. I think there will be things that are redacted. There's going to be some, you know, law enforcement methods material. There will be names of victims. And, you know, to be honest, I think even though that is a normal thing, I suspect that any redactions will only spread conspiracy theories. Mm. They will make people believe that something's being hidden from them, which will extend things. But, you know, what's in there, I think, is a really open question. And there's a lot of speculation, but we just don't really know.
What do you envisage would need to be in these documents relating to Donald Trump that would actually damage his presidency? Because, of course, there's a lot of accusations against Donald Trump already, and it doesn't seem to have hurt him.
That's right. I mean, my theory is that there is no, you know, single thing that is ever going to destroy Trump's standing, nothing that is going to shatter his support entirely. There are 35 to 40% of Americans who seem ready to support him no matter what. But I think it matters because it erodes that support. It drives his approval down. It makes it harder for those people to wield power. And it puts pressure on Republicans in Congress to satisfy voters, especially with elections coming up next year. So I think what we're going to see is anything that reminds voters of that connection with Epstein is probably bad news for him, but not something that will make it dissolve.
But regardless, I guess, of what is in these papers, the whole affair, it has been damaging to him, hasn't it, because of this MAGA base. It's sort of showing that he doesn't have ultimate control over every Republican, that he doesn't have total control over MAGA.
That's right. And he has said, you know, I define MAGA. MAGA is whatever I say it is. And I think what we see here is MAGA taking on a bit of an identity of its own. And, you know, shows that people like Marjorie Taylor Greene really do speak to people in the base, and they may sometimes speak to them more effectively than Trump can.
Is he losing control? It seems like it's been a pretty horrid week, if you like, for Donald Trump.
It has been. I think this is one of the worst weeks he's had. But I can count, you know, if I count the worst weeks of Trump's presidencies, I might run out of fingers and still keep going. He does have a way of driving through these things, even when it seems like they would end any other presidency.
Okay, so what should we expect, do you think, in the weeks ahead? Because this is an issue, isn't it? It just will not go away for Donald Trump. And even when the files are released, perhaps it won't go away then either.
Right. Even when the files are released, we're going to have a lot of time to pour through them and see what's in there. And you'll have Democrats in particular making sure to spotlight any connections between Trump and Epstein. We don't know what it is that has made Trump so eager to not release them, but there must be something that he doesn't want out there. I think the thing I'll be watching is how Trump responds to pressure, whether it's from Republican senators or other Republicans or Democrats or from the press to deal with this. But, you know, his sort of lashing out, I think, only convinces voters that he's hiding something.
David A. Graham is a staff writer at The Atlantic. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.